that she really went through a really difficult time. But this song, I had not heard till I went up there. And she said, Mama, I keep it on my phone next to me day and night. So.
For our family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. Doubt your as if every promise on your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through? Your healing comes through tears. What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Come through raindrops. What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know your name? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rains, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
and just bring these with me. Thank you. For your prayers. This is a day of celebration. It's a day of testimonies of what God has done. I don't want you to tune me out thinking this is another testimony. Because this is the word. This is going to flow into the message that God's laid on my heart. But you have to understand where we've come from these last few months. And I've been gone for the last 2 months to help care for my daughter, my oldest daughter. She and her family live in Minnesota. She found out in December she was pregnant with her, what she thought was her second child. Turned out in February, she found out she was pregnant with her second and third child. Set of twins. And in March, she began having a lot of trouble. A lot of pain, a lot of back pain, a lot of kidney pain. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. Because she was pregnant, she was limited in what they could do to find out. Certain tests they couldn't run, and there was a real concern for the life of the twins. But it was finally determined after a series of ER events and visits and different strategies that she, along with those two precious babies, had 7 kidney stones. Now, it's important to understand that the treatment of those stones couldn't be just your normal treatment because she had the babies. And so her health was at risk and the health of the babies were at risk. And normally you can use sound waves or shock waves. Couldn't do that with her. And so she had to make a decision. She was going to keep those babies in regardless of the amount of pain she was in. She made a choice to mother them and to nurture them in her womb. And she spent 1,000 sleepless nights. It's important to mention that one of the 7 stones was embedded in what is called her ureta. It's a tube that you all have as well. You have 2 of them. They connect from your kidney to your bladder. And one of the stones was embedded and had been in there for a number of years, and it was encased in scar tissue. It was in one of the procedures tried to be removed. There were 3 surgeons that took over an hour and a half to try to remove the stone because it was completely blocking the drainage of her one kidney. It was so large, there was no way that kidney was going to drain, and infection began to set in. And these surgeons were unsuccessful, so it was decided that a stent would be placed in to bypass the stone. She also had another tube placed in her back, a tube that would drain her other kidney, and it was going to release the pressure from the other kidneys so the stones would not have to pass through. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a kidney stone. I have not. But I've seen them. Very small, but they have jagged edges and they tear on everything that they hit. Well, she had 7 of these. In April, she had tremendous pain from the stones and her body could not handle the pain any longer and she went into labor. The babies were 24 weeks. They couldn't stop the labor, and she called and said that they were going to transfer her to a hospital that would be able to handle babies that small, expecting that each baby was only about 1 pound. I got on the next flight that I could that day and took an emergency trip up there, and this church prayed, sought the Lord. And I got report after report of faith when I didn't have the faith to believe. God's going to take care of those stones. God's going to keep those babies healthy. You prayed. And by the time I reached Minnesota, the laboring had stopped. And I figured I was just there to put a smile on her face and to bring her hope. After she was discharged, about 2 weeks later, she had to go in for another procedure. And some of you remember this testimony because I was telling you all this, but the doctor went in with a scope that day, and he said this: I witnessed on the scope your body producing crystal-like shavings. In my 24 years of practice, I have never seen such a thing. These shavings were falling from the top of your kidney. You know, after your pregnancy, I would like to do a biopsy of them to see what they're made of. And everything in my spirit knew that it was the thing that God was producing to demolish those stones. I knew it. I knew it was a product that God was creating, crystal-like shavings that would demolish the very thing her body could not pass. I knew it. I knew it in my spirit. And Jerry delivered those twins. Not at 24 weeks, but 37. For twins, 37 is considered full term. Little Emma Rose was born at 5 pounds. And Ezekiel Jonathan was born at 5 pounds, 14 ounces. A miracle. Would you like to see who you prayed for? Go ahead, put him up. Look, go back. There they are. They're beautiful. They're just beautiful. This is my daughter. This is Ezekiel. And this is Emma. You want to put the other one up of Ezekiel? This is his thanks to you. He's smiling. And then Emma. There she is. You know how long it took us to teach a baby at 1 week old to smile like that? Aren't they beautiful? That's a miracle. It's a miracle that they stayed into 37 weeks. But let me tell you, there were many, many battles that had to be fought, to include 5 emergency room visits, 23 days in the hospital, 15 surgeries, and 25 doctor visits. The majority of those hospital stays and surgeries were within 60 to 80 days of her pregnancy. She had 2 surgeries every week for 8 weeks. Throughout her pregnancies, her doctor would refer to the treatments and the surgeries that she would need afterward to take care of the stones. It would often be talked about the different treatments that they would do and when they would do it. They wanted her to recover. She delivered the twins. I can't believe you took the picture down. They're the star, man. Keep them up. You got to see them. She delivered the twins on Wednesday, July 20th. On Friday, a CAT scan was done to determine where the stones were and the treatments and the procedures that would have to be done to remove them. The CAT scan came back reporting no stones. Not one. She said to the doctor, "What happened to that one that was embedded in my ureter that you tried for three, with two other surgeons for an hour and a half to remove? Where's that? Embedded in scar tissue." They determined that it had been there probably since the birth of her first child 3 years ago. "Where is that stone?" And he said, "I simply do not have an explanation for that." I do. God performed a miracle. He performed a miracle. He did it for his glory. He did it that others might know him. In the book of John, the primary reason is written why Jesus did miracles. In John 20, verses 30 through 31, it says, "And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these that are written, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The primary reason that Jesus did miracles was not to meet the needs of the people. The primary reason was so that people would believe on him as the Messiah. To believe that he was alive. To believe that he was real. And to receive everlasting life. That's why he did miracles. I was so excited when the report came back that there were no stones. I was so excited. I could have shouted it from the mountaintop. I could hardly contain myself. Not only was I holding the promises, but my daughter was free of 7 kidney stones. And do you know the response that I got? Telling Christians, do you know the response? "Oh, that's good." "Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because now she won't have to have any more surgeries." "Oh, really? Well, what happened?" This was the church, folks. It was as if they didn't hear me. I said, "Did you hear what I said? 7 kidney stones are gone. There's a living God who touched my daughter. She was healed. They didn't just go away. Did you hear me? He's alive. He performed a miracle. What will it take for you to believe?" What will it take? We wonder why he doesn't do miracles in our nation. I know why. Because he's not being glorified. His name is not being high and lifted up. I got this passive pat on the back. "Oh, we're so happy for you." Oh, we want to see the signs, don't we? Miracles. We want to see a manifested in our lives and in our ministries. But do we have the same heart toward them that Christ did? Do we want them for the same reason that Christ wanted them? Why do you want to see miracles? You know, I can't even tell you, I can't stand here with a pure heart and say that I wanted to see it for God's glory. When I prayed, I didn't want my daughter in pain. I didn't want those babies born at 24 weeks. And I had to get some things lined up because I knew it wasn't just about her. And it just wasn't about Em and Ezekiel. I knew it was about the glory of God. I knew that I needed to get my perspective right. And John 6:26 came to my heart. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." We want to be filled. We want to be fat. One of my concerns for the church today is its silence. The silence of the church. People, we were created for His glory. We're to emanate His glory, declare His glory, reveal His glory. I just pulled six times in the scriptures when miracles took place. And I want to just show you in those, I mean, there's many others, but when a miracle was performed in the days of Christ, I want you to see what happened every single time. In Acts 9:40 through 42, Dorcas had died and Peter came to her side, and it says that he pulled them out and knelt down. Peter knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And verse 42 says, "And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord." The word of the testimony went throughout Joppa. In Acts 9, 34 and 35, there was a bedridden man and paralyzed 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." And then he rose immediately. And in verse 35 it says, "So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." All of them. In Acts 3, 8 through 10, there was a lame man who was healed. Verse 8, "So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." I talked about her stones being gone. No one was filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. They were just pleasantly happy for us. Oh, I'm so glad. Acts 10:44 through 48, when the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. Says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. When's the last time you gave a report of some miracle and somebody said, "Just stay with us. Just stay with us. We want to know more. We want to see more. We want to see miracles take place here. Just stay a few more days and let us hear the word. Luke 4:35 through. Who in that parking lot wanted to stay here over the weekend? I don't want to leave this place. I feel the presence of God here. Luke 4:35 through 37. Jesus cast out a demon. Jesus rebuked him. 35, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And in verse 37, it says, and the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. The report of the Lord. People couldn't keep silent. They couldn't keep quiet. They had to tell of the miraculous things that they had seen and heard. In Luke 5:12 through 15, Jesus healed a leper. It says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one. He said, don't tell anybody, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, in verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by their own infirmities. Don't tell anybody. And he couldn't even help it. And the word of the Lord just went forth. Why did Jesus do these things? To bring glory to the Father. That he would be known. But the church as a whole is silent. Let's not be too radical. Let's not say anything that would offend anybody. Let's keep silent about that. Nobody would understand. We don't want to turn them away. Really? What is your response when you hear of miracles? What do you say? Can you contain it? Can you explain it away? I had one person say, oh yeah, because you know what, that doctor, so-and-so, he's the best. That doctor didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't know what those shavings were. He said, I never seen anything like that before. Of course, he didn't say it in Southern. He said it. I can't even do it in the language of Minnesotan anymore, but. Don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something. I fully expect to hear the rocks cry out. In Luke 19:37 through 40. Luke 19:37 through 40. You need to see this. When he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The disciples began to praise God joyfully for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." In fact, they already are. I occasionally tune into the reports of a scientist. I don't think he's born again. It's kind of why I like him. He doesn't give his opinion or his theory. He just gives you the facts. But he's a scientist who explains the current activity of earth movement and volcanic activity around the world. I appreciate his forecasting because it's not opinion or theory. He just does all the work for you. He just goes to certain sites and shows you what's going on around the world. And he said this in one of his latest reports. Quote, "There is a ring of earthquakes reported in the last 7 days that circle all the way around the northern hemisphere. The steady unrest is being seen on every continent and in every volcano. We are witnessing 4.0 to 6.0 volcanic activity on every volcanic ridge around the world on a weekly basis." He went on to say, "There is specific unrest on the Ring of Fire extending from the west to the east. The edge of the plate is being pushed all the way down the entire West Coast. In the volcanic islands," he said, "there is severe unrest, which boils deep disturbance in the earth. This disturbance causes volcanic activity, which causes systemic activity along the fault lines and plate movement. CNN and Fox News reported some of this activity in Yellowstone National Park. It was reported by NASA that when, not if, the supervolcano in the Yellowstone erupts, it will destroy North America as we know it. They're not predicting when, but they are reporting the increased activity." Now, I'm not saying these things to bring fear upon anybody, but to identify the earth's groanings for the glory of God to be revealed. The very rocks are crying out. Deep within the earth, there's groanings that are taking place in the world today that the glory of God would be revealed. And it will not be necessarily by man's hand that we are going to see a nation crumble. It will be because the disciples of God did not cry out and praise him. He said, "I will not share my glory with another." When I was preparing for this message, I felt the Lord revealed a portion of his heart to me, particularly for our nation. I, as many others, wonder why we don't see miracles anymore. And I have to tell you, there was a sense of anger that rose up in me when I was in Minnesota. Angry that God was not being given glory, and frustrated that the people that I spoke with were slumbering and asleep and unconscious, really, in their faith. There was no life. There was no sparkle. There was not an ounce of, "Oh, really? Wow, God, I've never seen God do anything like that before." There was nothing. And I found myself frustrated. Then I began praying and preparing for this, and I said, Lord, help me to hear your heart in this. Help me to understand, why aren't we seeing these miracles? Why do we cry out and pray and they're so far, few and in between? I believe that everything you do is for our good. Why are you withholding what would appear to be for our good? And he brought me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 20. Through 24, Jesus warned that there are dire consequences for witnessing and receiving miracles from God and still not doing what is necessary to be reconciled to him or to bring him glory. In Matthew 11, 20 through 24, it says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The scripture tells me he's not wanting to have to judge us for our silence. Could it be that his love for us withholds the miracles? Because he knows of the fierce judgment that will come to those who will not repent. The very rocks are crying out. I said to the Lord, is it too late? I didn't get an answer. But he told me three things that can stop the silence. We have to stop the silence. God's given every individual on the face of the earth a mouth. You gotta stop the silence. He spoke these three words to me. Speak. Shout. Sing. Speak the name of the Lord. Speak the word of God. speak it out loud all the time. Do you know how many things we say that have no purpose, no life? He says that the power of tongue holds life or death. Everything you say can produce life. Speak the word. Speak it. Speak his name. Speak. The word of God says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Speak your testimony. Tell people. Shout it from the mountaintop. Look what God did. Every one of you that were up here this morning, this is a great place to share your testimony, but it needs to be heard outside the doors. Don't be silent. Speak. Speak life. Shout. Shout to the Lord. All throughout the scriptures. All throughout the scriptures it says, shout to the Lord. Shout joyfully to him. Shout his name. When's the last time you shouted something decent out of your mouth? Shout his name. Declare his glory. I think it was said earlier this morning, Pastor Joe said, shout the victory. It's an act of warfare. I said to the Lord, who are your people who shout? He said, those who are desperate. I was reminded of a situation that took place when we were over at the castle. Mariah was itty bitty tiny and she was upstairs with Jody, and David Gray still remembers this. He tells me about every once in a while. And Mariah had a seizure, and they called Tom up to take her because we had to get her to the ER right away. And she was turning blue, and Tom went running upstairs, and he came down, and I was in the service was over, and there was all these people in the church, and I could hear Tom shouting my name from the stairwell to get my attention. He was desperate to find me that we could get her help. Desperate people shout. When there's danger in a place, if there's a fire going on, you're shouting for your family to get out. Shout the name of the Lord. We've got to stop the silence. And then sing. Sing praise. Sing to the Lord. Sing to him a new song. Sing the Psalms. Sing them back to him. Sing them. Come before his presence with singing. Sing praises to our God. What's it going to take for us to break the silence? To speak. To shout. And to sing. I don't know if we'll ever see miracles take place again. We pray for revival. We pray for the Spirit of God to come. But whether he does or not, you need to bring him glory. You need to bring him glory. In everything that you say, everything you say. Father, you're worthy. You're worthy.